Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Now, this always happens when we give the gospel. There are some who don't believe, but there are some who do believe. And there's this in-between group. If you go back to the parable of the sower, where the sower sows seed and some falls on the hard ground, some falls on weedy ground, some falls on stony ground, and some falls on good soil.
Our job is to simply bring the gospel, tell others about Jesus and how much He loves us. Some are going to be ready to receive that message. Others are not, and others may not be sure. We can't control whether or not others are going to listen and make a real change in their life for Christ, but we plant seeds, we pray, and we ask the Holy Spirit to do the rest. We take a lesson from Paul in this final teaching in the book of Acts. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
In 2006, a famous rabbi, considered to be one of the most famous rabbis in all of history, his name was Ishak Radunai, his last name, if I'm not saying it correctly, but he died in 2006, but he had said that he knew who the Messiah was before he died. And Ishak had written it down and had it put away to be read a year after he died. You can look this up. He was considered to be, again, 108 years old, born in 1898. And a year later, they open it up and there's a statement saying something like, "He is risen," and it gives the statement, but the first letter of each word, and this is common in the Bible, it's common in Hebrew literature, that they'll make a statement where the first letter of each word spells something out, and the first letter of each word spelled out the one who was risen as Joshua, Yahshua, as Jesus. There were 500,000 people at his funeral, 500,000 Jewish people in his funeral, considered the largest funeral in all of Israel. A year later, under the anticipation of who the Messiah was, it was opened up and said that it was Jesus. Now, this sent Judaism into turmoil, and you got to know that, because people immediately didn't believe the note. Immediately, they were like, "He didn't say it was Jesus," because it wasn't really the note. They questioned whether it had been changed out. They had all kinds of difficulties and questions, but it was under guard that he had spoken that it was Jesus, it seems, and he had told people that he had seen the Messiah. It seems that perhaps Jesus had appeared to Rabbi Ishak. And so now Paul says it's for the hope of Israel, the Messiah, that they're still waiting for, that we know who's come, that we want to say to the Jewish people, "We know your Messiah. He's Jesus, who is the Messiah, who is Christ." Verse 21, "And they said to him, 'We neither received a letter from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren come and reportedly spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you, from what you think for concerning this sect.'" So these Jewish leaders, well, they know Christianity. Christianity has been in Rome for a while. Up at this point in history, Christians have been removed from Rome, banished from Rome at least once, probably twice. And so they're familiar with it. Judaism is a sanctioned religion of Rome. Christianity is not. Some believe that Christianity is a sect of Judaism, that you've got to keep the law, that you've got to be circumcised. It's just a sect of Judaism. So they have questions concerning this sect. They say, "We know that it is spoken against everywhere, that people talk against Christians everywhere. It was that way in the first century in Rome, and it's that way today." Just consider the things that are happening in our world. I try not to talk about the Olympics too much, but I got to say that it truly is disturbing. There are a few things that are disturbing. The man who is boxing in women's boxing, who had beaten the Italian woman in 45 seconds. There are other things that are disturbing as well that I won't even go into, but the mockery of the Lord's Supper, for sure. So they desire to hear it, and they're spoken against Christians. It's interesting how much Christians are spoken against, but don't really know what we're about, don't really know what we are all about. Someone who's never looked into Christianity, who's never looked into the historicity of the Bible, that both the New and the Old Testament are actual history. These aren't just made up stories, but there's archaeology and secular history that backs up the things that are written. But they're spoken against everywhere. They say in verse 22, now Paul gets an opportunity to share his faith in Christ. This is an amazing open door. He invites the Jewish leaders in. He tells them, I got nothing against you guys. It's for the hope of Israel that I'm in these chains. They say, we haven't heard anything bad about you, but we do have questions about this sect, about Christianity. Did you just see the door that opened for Paul? What does Paul like to do? Preach the gospel. What does Paul get to do now? Preach the gospel. A door opens up for him. Have you ever had a door open up for you like that? Has anybody ever come to you and said, I'd just like to know more about this Christianity? You're a Christian, right? I'd like to know more about Christianity. That'd be a door that most of us would love to have happen. Almost always it happens as an attack. And one of the reasons that people in the world attack is because they just don't know much about Christianity. And when you don't know much about a topic and you're now going to try to speak on that topic, you generally become defensive. And I find myself telling them, listen, this is a truth you can accept or not accept. You don't have to be upset about it, because people will get upset when they start talking about Christ. Now, this brings us to our third lesson for our study. God opens doors for the gospel. When God opens a door, no one can shut it. Listen, God had planned to take Paul from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. But God's got a plan for you as well. Do you know that the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians? By the way, Paul wrote the book of Ephesians while he was under house arrest in Rome. And Paul says in that book, we have been saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of any works. So you can walk in the works that God has given you. The amazing thing about that verse is it's really about works. It talks about salvation, but that salvation is not of works. So that you can walk in the works that God's foreordained for you. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God brings you where God brings you, that you can shine as a light and affect the people who are around you. And those doors are open. We just got to look for those doors to see them be opened. We now come to verse 23. And when they had appointed a day, so now a day was set that they were going to come back to Paul's house and listen to him. Many came to him in his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. You guys think sermons are long now? From morning until evening, going through Moses and the prophets. Now, this is a reference to the entire Old Testament passages. In their day, when they would say, Jesus said that both Moses and the prophets speak of me. He's saying it's in its entirety. That includes Psalms and Ecclesiastes, which are not technically part of the law or the prophets, but they are a part of the Jewish canon. And all of them speak of Jesus. Jesus can be found in every book in the Old Testament, either in a type or speaking directly of him. And so he spoke to them about the law of Moses and about the prophets. He probably went over Isaiah 53, that all we like sheep have gone astray, but God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He probably talked to them about Psalms 22. They've nailed my hands and feet. They pierced my hands and feet, it says in Psalms 22. They shoot the lip at me. They say, he saved others, let him save himself. That's in the Old Testament, not the New Testament. It even prophesied in the Old Testament, not only that the Messiah would die for the sins of mankind, but would rise from the dead. Paul probably brought those things before them as well. So verse 25, let's go back to verse 24. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Now, this always happens when we give the gospel. There are some who don't believe, but there are some who do believe. And there's this in-between group. If you go back to the parable of the sower, where the sower sows seed and some falls on the hard ground, some falls on weedy ground, some falls on stony ground, and some falls on good soil. Whenever we give the gospel, there's some with good soil. The word of God falls on it. It grows, starts to grow immediately, and faith springs up in their life and in their heart, and they receive Christ. Some have rocky soil, and immediately it springs up. But because their soil is rocky, there's no depth to it. Some in the weeds. And the weeds, the cares and the worries of this world choke out the word, and they don't follow. Those on the hard path, the birds come and steal it away. Remember when Paul preached in Athens? We have a message here to Jews, so he uses the Bible to speak to them. But in Athens, he was talking to Gentiles who didn't have any background in the Bible. So he didn't quote scripture to them. Instead, remember, he said, I see that you guys are very religious and your city is full of idols. And I noticed that there was one to the unknown God, and it is him who I want to talk to you about today. This unknown God is the one who created you and the world. And he has put you in times and places so that you would grope for him and find him. So he preaches to the Athenians. And then at the end of that message, it says, some believed, some did not. And some said, we'll hear you again on another day. The Bible says this, one man waters, or one man sows, another man waters, and God adds the increase. The adding of someone to the gospel, to Christ, is his business, not ours. We just give the message of the gospel. Even someone like Paul, who knew the word of God, a Pharisee who had the Old Testament memorized, some would believe and some would not believe. Verse 25, so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, said Paul, saying, and here he quotes Isaiah, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Paul then says, therefore, let it be known to you that salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. Now, what happened when he brought up the Gentiles when he was in Jerusalem? They tore their clothes, they threw dirt in the air, and it resulted in him getting arrested. Paul's already in chains. What's he got to worry about? So he says, because you guys have dull ears, you've closed your eyes, and you won't see clearly what the Bible says, then God's going to the Gentiles. And they will hear it. And today, of course, the Gentile church is much larger than the Jewish church, although there are many Jews who are coming to Christ. It's growing. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. So you got these Jewish leaders leaving Paul's house, and they're still arguing about Jesus as they're leaving. They're walking down the road, and Paul's listening to them argue back and forth in this dispute. Now we get to the two last verses in the book of Acts. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his rented house and received all who came to him. At one point, Paul had said when he was in Caesarea, I am bound, but the gospel is not bound. Any who visited him from Rome, he had his own home, and the Christians from Rome could come knock on his door. One of them was a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus, who came to Paul's house while he was imprisoned. Paul just happened to know his owner, Philemon. And so Paul writes a letter to Philemon and gives it to Onesimus to take by hand back to his owner that he ran away from, because Onesimus had gotten saved under Paul. You can read that letter in your Bibles in the book of Philemon. It's just a postcard. It's short. But Paul pleads that he would set Onesimus free. and says, and just remember, this is the card Paul plays. I love him. Paul says, just remember, Philemon, you owe me. When you're thinking about whether or not to let him go, remember that you owe me. I don't know how we owed Paul, but I think he let Onesimus go back to him. We're not told, but I think that he let Onesimus go back. But he preached and taught while they were there. God had chosen to use him from being imprisoned in a home. And because of that, we have four New Testament books that were written here. Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, and then Philemon. Those were the four books that Paul wrote here. So when we're reading the depths of Ephesians, which may very well be the next book we go into, by the way, once we're done here, I have a couple of things I want to talk about in between, and we may get into a line-by-line, verse-by-verse study into the book of Ephesians. Maybe we'll do Romans once we're done with David on Wednesday nights. What a time that will be, Romans on Wednesdays and Ephesians on Sundays. Ephesians is a deep book. Colossians is an awesome book where we have that great early church creed that he is the invisible express image of the visible God. And in him and by him, all things were made through him and for him. And it goes on to talk about it. It's phenomenal. And then, of course, Philippians, which was the church that Paul had the greatest heart for. They loved him and they cared for him. And Paul writes them a tender letter from being in prison. I also want to think of something else as I come to the ending here. And that is that we know from history that they would chain people to prisoners who were under house arrest for 4 hours. So you'd have a 4-hour shift and you're chained to Paul. I wonder if any of them thought when the other guy came, can I take your shift? He's just starting to get into some interesting stuff now. I'd love to stay. We do know from the end of some of the letters that some of these soldiers got saved. Because Paul talks about the soldiers greeting them and the household of Caesar. So the gospel even got into there, and maybe, now we don't know for sure, but maybe it was by Paul talking to these soldiers that had interaction, because remember, he's under Caesar's custody now and has interaction with them, and the gospel is going places that it would never go had it not been for the pain of Paul being imprisoned. See, we forget about that. When we face struggles and difficulties and hardships, the kind of doors that God opens up that we might be able to be used by him. Even years later, after we go through the hardships, God ministers through our own scars. The things that we faced and gone through, we're able to comfort other people. It then says in verse 31 that those came to him preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So he's able to preach it without anyone forbidding him. Now I have three things in closing. Number one, remember, like Paul, we are representatives of Christ wherever we go. Now he was an apostle, and I understand that. And God used him in an incredible way in his lifetime. But you are an ambassador as well. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us and imploring you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know what the interesting thing about that verse is? 2 Corinthians is a corrective letter. The Corinthians were doing all kinds of things wrong. Both 1 and 2 Corinthians are corrective letters. The book of Ephesians is a letter about doctrine, because the Ephesians had had Paul for 2.5 years. They had their foundation covered, and he builds these wonderful doctrines to them. And then some practicality as well. But to this church that was struggling, he says, you are ambassadors for Christ. So even today, if you struggle, don't forget you're an ambassador. Let that walk for Christ be deepened. Stand strong for him. For the day will come when you will stand before him. My second thought is sometimes we get a vision of something years before it ever comes to pass. It doesn't mean that God didn't give you the vision. When we first came to Tucson, we were planted here by Calvary Albuquerque 49 years ago this October. Pastor Skip Heitzig is our sending pastor. And when we came here, I looked at the arena and thought, went to an event there and thought, it would be great to hold Easter services here. We had our, I think it was the second or third year that we had our Easter service in one of the smaller little meeting rooms. And it was a disaster. Everything went wrong that could go wrong. Technical problems went wrong. I wanted to talk about Plato and called him Pluto. I mean, it was like, I just was like, it was just a mess. But a few years later, we had the arena packed out on an Easter Sunday morning. And a couple hundred people came forward to give their lives to Christ. And I realized that this from Habakkuk is true. This is Habakkuk 2:3. The vision is for the appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God gives you a vision, then wait for it. God will faithfully bring that vision to pass. Finally, God had given Paul a vision to go to Rome, and he was able to do that and be there effectively. Finally, the third thought, let's pray God will open up doors to tell those who we love about Christ, to tell our family, our friends, our coworkers and acquaintances about Christ. I pray for you that you would have someone come to you and say, I want to know more about what it means to be a Christian. Now, I have the ways that I do that, that I open up conversations with people that I don't know about Christ. You could do some of those things. I will ask people if they believe in the afterlife. I'll ask people, what do you think happens when you die? Sometimes I'll ask them, are you a believer? Do you believe in Jesus? Some people ask, do you go to church? That's a pretty good opening. Do you go to church? If so, if they say yes, if they say a good church here in town, you can be excited with them and rejoice with them. Sometimes they may say Calvary, and you go, I go to Calvary too. What service do you go to? I go to this service. That's the service I go to as well. And sometimes they'll say, well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Now you got an open door to be able to really share with them. It might get a bit contentious, but sometimes telling the truth gets contentious. May God open up doors in your life for you to be able to share your faith, even as Paul did when they came and said, we have questions about this sect that you're a part of. All we know is it's spoken against everywhere. You have an opportunity to share that.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.